Thank you for joining us here in our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. We're continuing in chapter 2. Our context in chapter 2 has been concerning Peter and his departure from the truth while he was at Antioch. Some Jewish brothers came from Jerusalem while Peter was there, and he immediately became very fearful of them and changed the way he was living. He was eating Gentile food, and when they came, he thought they might be critical of him, so he wouldn't eat Gentile food anymore. He went back to the Jewish kosher food table, and when Paul saw that, he rebuked him in Galatians 2:14. He said, "If you, Peter, though a Jew, live like a Gentile," and he had been, "and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?" Well, someone might say, was Peter compelling Gentiles to live like Jews? Well, he was by his action. He may not have done it in word, but his action spoke louder than word. These Gentiles looked at him and saw that Peter wasn't eating the ham sandwiches anymore or the pork chops. And they said, "What's wrong with him? It must not be right to eat this kind of food. Maybe we need to stop eating this kind of food that was forbidden by the law of Moses. And if we do, that must mean that we are still under the law." Or, not still under the law, because Gentiles never were under the law, but now that we need to get under the law. Well, if that's the case, then what about this gospel that Paul has been preaching that said, "We are not under law, that we are saved by grace, not by what we do or not by what we give up, that God saves us as a free gift of righteousness"? What about that? Well, Paul was very concerned because his gospel was being undermined. And he saw Peter's action as destructive of the gospel of truth. Grace was in jeopardy. And so he rebuked him properly. And then he said in verse 15, continuing the rebuke to Peter, "We ourselves, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law shall no one be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor, for through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." Now, the New American Standard Version continues Peter's quote all the way to the end of chapter 2. And I think that's probably the way it ought to be. The Revised Standard Version ends the quote with verse 14. But this seems to be addressed to Peter primarily here, in front of everybody, so that they can learn the lesson of how the law has ended, and that even Jews understood that they could not be justified by the works of the law. That's brought out so clearly in verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified," how? "By faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. Since by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What a lesson that is, not only to Peter, but to the rest of the Jews there and to us. There's no justification by the law. The law wasn't given to justify people. The law condemned man. It was like a tutor, someone who instructs you, so that when the truth comes along, you will go to the truth and be delivered from the tutor. Now that all comes out later in Galatians chapter 3, and we'll get to that. But consider this. When rebuked, Peter did not defend a supposed unique authority that made him right in everything. He was silent. He knew he had done wrong. And he submitted to the Apostle Paul's correction. Others in the meeting didn't rebuke Paul for confronting this leader of the church. Why not? Because Peter was not the head of the church. Well, who was the head of the church? There wasn't any head of the church on earth. Nor is there any today. The head of the church is in heaven. He is Christ. The church has no human head. And that's all by God's design. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, and learn from it. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. And listen to what Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians in chapter 1, verse 18. Speaking of Christ, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Well, Peter was asked a question by Paul in verse 14. He said, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Earlier, Peter had stopped living like a Jew when he ate with the Gentiles. Of course, Peter was born a Jew. He lived like a Jew all his life. He was a Jew while he was under the instruction of Jesus on the earth. But he stopped all that after he believed in Jesus Christ. He and the other apostles understood that Jesus was building his church, not building Judaism, and they got away from those old laws. The Holy Spirit taught them all truth, and they didn't see themselves as continuing Judaism, but as introducing a new truth from the Savior of the world. It was the truth about the Christian faith. And that had nothing to do with Old Testament laws. It was a whole new approach to God. It was coming to God by grace through faith, not by the law of Moses. But now at Antioch, Peter seems to have wanted those same Gentiles who never were under the law of Moses to live under it as the Jews had been living under it. Did Peter teach the law to Gentiles? Not by precept, but by example? Yes, he did. He did not need to teach legalism. And what's legalism? That attitude that believes we can do something to be more acceptable to God. No, he didn't teach legalism. He practiced legalism. Legalism is evil because it takes our eyes away from the cross work of Jesus Christ and puts our eyes and the focus of all attention on ourselves and what we can merit. We find that legalism in every generation is concerned with very trivial things. The length of a woman's hair or a skirt, holy days, foods, drinks, and washings, what you can read and what you can't read. There are Christians in America who think by not putting zippers on their clothing that they somehow are more spiritual. There are some very sincere female Christians who think that if they cut their hair, they would be sinning. And others who think they're more spiritual by tying it up in a bun on their head, as though God looked at them more favorably for doing that. There are some people who are very concerned about tithing, and some argue with others about whether they ought to tithe on their gross income or their net income. Well, in the New Testament, you don't find anything about tithing. There's a better way to give, a grace way to give. And I heard about a missionary in Korea who was asked by the Korean Christians if it was all right to swim in the ocean on the Sunday. And so he gave a rule and said, no, you can't swim in the ocean on Sunday. You can only wade up to your knees. How foolish. In Asbury Park, New Jersey, I was stationed there in the Navy during World War II. They put barricades on the streets. It's a Methodist town. They put barricades up on the streets so you couldn't drive there and desecrate what they called the Sabbath day. Were they more spiritual? The problem is, people were not believing the Word of God or understanding the Word of God. One of the great problems in the Christian faith is that some people don't seem to understand that there are two religions in the Bible, and they are trying to live by both of them. There's Judaism, and there is Christianity. Well, now you need to answer this question. Where does Judaism end in the Bible, and where does Christianity begin? Well, it doesn't begin with the birth of Jesus Christ. Judaism continued. Jesus was born into Judaism, born under the law, born of a woman under the law, to redeem people from the law. When did it begin then? The Bible is pretty clear on when the Christian faith began. It began with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He then ended the law when he fulfilled the demands of the law. Now, that's a lot different. Now, start reading your New Testament and look for Christian truth after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not during the lifetime of Jesus, because Jesus was teaching Jews who were under the law, and he upheld the law. But when the law ended with the death of Jesus Christ, then the new teaching came. There was new liberty, grace and truth. Came by Jesus Christ, although the law was given by Moses. Well, some of this may be very new to you, but you'll get a lot of instruction about where the New Testament begins in our course entitled Understanding the New Testament. It's on cassette tapes, 10 of them. You don't want to miss this teaching. Write for a brochure today on teaching tapes. Send your letter to the Radio Bible Course. You will find well over 20 short courses on cassette tape. These are teaching tapes, not sermons. Tapes to help you to understand the Bible, and they'll all be listed in that brochure. We'd also like to send you our free booklet entitled Grace. It's such an important concept in the New Testament, most people don't understand it. Write to us and ask for your free copy of Grace. If you are blessed by this program, please tell a friend. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.